Welcome to part two of Intelligent Medicine about spring allergies and how to cope with them using natural methods. Our guest is Dr. Benjamin Asher. He's a board-certified otolaryngologist. He's one of America's foremost integrative ENTs. They are certainly few and far between here in this country. He has served on the faculty of Harvard, Washington University, and Dartmouth Medical Schools. And he is founder and former chairman of the Committee on Complementary and Alternative Medicine of the American Academy of Otolaryngology. That's pretty cool because they're now expressing an interest in getting an alternative perspective on how to do ENT medicine. So you were just talking about in part one some of the natural therapies for dealing with spring allergies. When you work with patients who have spring allergies, do you also counsel them on dietary stuff? Do you say, hey, you know, if you're eating all kinds of, you know, the wrong kind of stuff, that could have an impact on your chronic nasal congestion?
Absolutely. So if a person is having a lot of allergy symptoms, I think going on in some kind of anti-inflammatory diet is very helpful. In preparation for allergy season, it's helpful. It's actually surprising how many people who are having allergy symptoms, if they do some kind of a cleanse, will actually have a reduction in their allergy symptoms. So clearly what's going on in the diet has an impact on allergies. Now, if you have, if let's say you're allergic to birch, which is a tree, then that particular allergy has a clear relationship to several foods. There's a birch pollen allergy crossover. So if you're allergic to birch, you're likely going to have symptoms to also apple, apricot, carrot, cherry, hazelnut, nectarine, pear, plum, and white potato. So if I see somebody is highly allergic to birch pollen, I also recommend that they avoid those foods clearly during birch season. I'll work with people on reducing inflammatory things in their diet. So that would be gluten, soy, dairy.
Is it really true in your experience as an ENT that dairy produces mucus? A lot of people, you know, is that just folkloric or anecdotal, or is there really some evidence that dairy-free diets can take down the volume on seasonal allergies?
I think that that's a case-by-case situation. Basically, what I tell people is if you find when you eat a dairy product that you turn into a mucus factory, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
And that's I don't routinely tell everybody to go off dairy, but if they are having a if they're really in very reactive, I may tell them in that moment too, but not on a permanent basis.
And what about what I notice in many of my patients is that beer and wine, foods that contain histamine or histamine byproducts or yeast byproducts, these are foods that can be triggers. Do you find that to be the case?
Yes, that is really it's very interesting. To see that, particularly in some of the in patients that are severely allergic and also patients that have mold biotoxin issues, a glass of wine is like the world's worst thing. I mean, they will just turn, they'll go from being totally fine to being absolutely miserable.
Yeah, and especially with the red wine, I think the red wine may have a higher content. For some of our patients, we say clear alcohols. If you really need to, you know, indulge, that might be preferable. Is there some rhyme or reason to that?
I would assume that's true. There's less byproducts. There's going to be less of a reaction. But I haven't studied that particularly.
You're not a martini guy. You haven't studied that.
Once in a while, but I don't do it for. I don't drink them because I'm allergic to something else.
So. Oh, okay. there's some other interesting parallels because, you know, as someone involved in allergy, both of us see allergic patients, and we find that patients who are allergic to grass may have corresponding allergy. They have a higher likelihood of being allergic to grains, which, after all, are cultivated grass. So it's, you know, eating grains is like inhaling grass for some of these people.
I think that is true. I think that that thinking about that is an important piece. One of the other things that I think is important in terms of prevention is looking at probiotics.
Yes. Recently reiterated in a very important study that showed you can really turn down the volume on allergies simply by feeding kids probiotics.
Right. So probiotics make a big difference in terms of immune function for preventing colds. There are large population studies in Sweden looking at probiotic fortified milk in kids and showing they have reduction in upper respiratory infections, as well as reducing allergy symptoms. So, everybody that has allergies should probably be on a probiotic, but in kids, I think it's really quite important, and I recommend them. The species that seems to make the biggest difference for the immune system is the Lactobacillus rhamnosus species. I don't know whether you use that. Would you recommend or look at that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the plausible species. I mean, the problem with, as you probably admit, we don't have all the facts in about the probiotics, and there's some proprietary efforts to push this or that or the other species, and sometimes the research is funded by one or another of the yogurt companies, for example, that tries to get the jump on their competitors. But some of the species, Reuteri has also been, I don't even know the pronunciation, but it's
right.
Reuteri has been mentioned,
right,
as a beneficial probiotic. And kids are thought to do better with bifidobacteria, but rhamnosus certainly there's promising research on that for sure. Essential fatty acids, does that make a difference in the allergic response?
I think that it does. I think I use them in patients that are having lots of allergies. And then there's also plant sterols are effective in balancing the TH1, TH2 portion of the immune system away from allergies.
You're thinking the ModuCare product.
The ModuCare product. So in people that are having a lot of allergies, I'll use ModuCare. In people that are having asthma, there's a product made by Allergy Research Group called Phytocort.
Okay.
Which I think there's been some research at Mount Sinai looking at it's a Chinese herbal medicine product, and it's actually pretty good, and it also works for nasal allergy symptoms too, and it increases your interferon levels, it increases your cortisol levels, and it balances your immune system.
And that brings up a whole issue, which is adrenal function. And, of course, this is actually in traditional Chinese medicine, they would say, well, weak kidney qi will produce a greater propensity to what we in the West call allergies, but they would call, excess mucus, stagnation, coldness symptoms. And so if you have weak adrenals, if you're burnt out, you might not respond as well to allergic stressors, and so supporting the adrenals might be an important thing.
I think that's very true, and what I've looked at, all those Chinese herbal products, though, that are allergy, asthma products, they all have Chinese licorice in them. And so in children, there's no problem with some of them, but in my adult patients, I've seen, even with Phytocort, I've seen it elevate blood pressure.
Yeah, that you have to be careful because it stimulates the adrenals, but to the extent that may cause some sodium retention and potassium loss, and then hence blood pressure rises.
Right. So one has to be a little bit cautious about that particular line of herbs in people. But they are good. They're very powerful and
right,
very effective.
But, of course, it's okay to sell billions and billions of dollars of decongestants in drugstores,
yeah,
which all
right,
cause the same thing, palpitations and high blood
right,
pressure. But that's okay. That's on,
right,
you know. But we get wrapped in – we're super careful in alternative medicine not to cause problems. But
now, another thing that I find very effective, actually, is glutathione.
Okay. Oh, you're a big glutathione person. Tell us a little bit about that, because also you do some vocal work with patients.
Right. I mean, a discovery that I've made is that intravenous glutathione is the mother of all antioxidants. It's the most potent antioxidant in the body, 3 amino acids. It has a lot of other functions. It's important in detoxification pathways and some immune modulation. The voice box, the larynx, the vocal cords themselves are actually filled with glutathione, which only makes sense because oxygen causes free radicals and the body needs to be protected. And I've discovered that giving high doses of intravenous glutathione is God's gift to the voice, and it's incredible for performers.
Yeah, so that's like that opera singer who may arrive at your doorstep. This is like a medical emergency. I have to perform tonight at the Met, and you know, get me together. And you can give them a drip, and it actually improves them.
It makes a huge. It's great for vocal fatigue. Now, if you have, you know, viral laryngitis, and you know, that's nothing works great for that.
Yeah,
I mean, you can give it steroids, but for a person that's, you know, really having just some vocal fatigue or overwork, you know, it's unbelievable. It's really, it's amazing. And I've actually seen it shrink down polyps and nodules and benign strain lesions on the vocal cords. But I've also found in patients that have a lot of allergy symptoms, intravenous glutathione and even oral glutathione makes a difference in reducing allergy symptoms. There are people that will come in during allergy season and feel like they're itching all over, you know, they just feel just horrible. And if you give them glutathione, it makes a difference. It really reduces those symptoms quite a bit. And it also will, in a patient that's having an acute asthmatic attack, glutathione will turn that around immediately. And there's a lot of evidence for glutathione deficiency causing asthma as being a reason why people have asthma. There are some pediatric studies looking at children who are having asthmatic attacks, checking their glutathione levels and showing them to be quite deficient.
Because now, it's like their antioxidant reserves have been exhausted and glutathione replenishes that.
And I saw somewhere that there was an article looking at that and showing that these children that had diminished glutathione levels actually got them by taking Tylenol. And, of course, Tylenol is detoxified through the glutathione pathway in the liver until it chews it all up. It seems like it can be very helpful in that situation. And you can take oral glutathione. The problem is it just doesn't smell very good.
It's stinky. It's like rotten egg kind of smell because of the sulfur in it.
Right. So you can also take N-acetylcysteine, which is a glutathione precursor, but that one step away presupposes that your body's going to be able to take the NAC and convert it into glutathione, and everybody doesn't do it that well.
One nutrient that we didn't mention, I'm sure you're aware of its significance, and you use it in your patients, that would be vitamin D. That has an impact on allergic symptoms. Particularly, there's some good studies on asthma, but what about ordinary run-of-the-mill seasonal allergies? Do you think it could make a difference?
I think it can make a difference. I mean, vitamin D, I'd say 90% of my patients are vitamin D deficient. So I put almost everybody on vitamin D for all kinds of things. It's just nobody gets exposed to the sun in New York City. So
right. By the way, how do I sound today? Am I coming through pretty clear? Does my voice sound very sonorous, particularly sonorous
today?
I took intravenous glutathione prior to this interview.
Oh, did you?
Sounds good. And I didn't know I sort of knew we were going to talk about it, but I didn't do it to demonstrate my vocal acumen. I kind of overdid it in the gym this week, and I was kind of feeling sore and tired, so I had my nurse make me up a couple of grams of intravenous glutathione and feel better now. So
right, so I'll in a vocalist, I'll give between 2 and 3 grams. Do it as an IV push. You can give it that way. It's quite powerful. I've also found that IV magnesium is good for the voice.
Yes.
I think that a lot of people that are suffering from vocal fatigue, the vocal cords are muscles, and sometimes muscle fatigue issues are related to magnesium deficiency, and everybody is somewhat deficient in magnesium because the food supply is deficient in it. So, and many vocalists I'll give IV magnesium, and that also seems to help quite a bit.
Well, good. While I have you, not every day I get to talk to an integrative ENT, let's talk a little bit about sinusitis. Not quite the same as spring allergy, although sometimes spring allergies morph into a season of what, you know, seems like allergy, but then it's, you know, the yellowish, the greenish, you know, mucus starts to get produced and you get that cement kind of feeling in your head, sometimes pain in your cheekbones, and it's sinusitis. You feel run down, you get brain fog. Does this always require the use of antibiotics?
That's a great question. Because first of all, even in the conventional medical world, the CDC has recommended that people with acute sinusitis not be treated with antibiotics.
Wow, that's new. That's a new think. by conventional medicine, because they usually say, well, look, if it's clear, if the mucus is clear, you don't need antibiotics. You can take whatever, right. You know, but if it's dark, if it's yellowish, or, you know, then you absolutely must start taking antibiotics. Right. Not so?
No, not at all. I mean, unless you've got a high fever or absolutely a horrible headache and you feel, I mean, you know, if there's some impending complication that seems like it's terrible, then you take an antibiotic. But for just, you know, yellow mucus and feeling terrible, you know, they would, in the conventional world, just say symptomatic relief. Now, what I recommend for my sinusitis patients, the best thing out there is Pelargonium pseudoides, which is an African herb. It comes under several brand names. One of them is in every health food store called Umka. It's also it's all owned by the same German pharmaceutical company, Schwabi, and they make another brand called ViraClear EPS 7630 and another product called Coloba. And if you go on the Cochrane database and you look up Pelargonium pseudoides or EPS 7630, you'll see that actually there's quite a bit of evidence for its efficacy for sinusitis and bronchitis. It stimulates the secretory IgA, and it really works. It is my go-to thing for any patient that seems to be having an impending sinus infection. So if somebody starts getting sick, I have some other supplements that I use for preventing colds or getting over a cold. I use humic acid and Isatis, which is a Yin Chao formula, as well as Lomatium isolate, which are antiviral. But then
this
I put
from traditional Chinese medicine,
right? And then I put people on Pelargonium pseudoides, and it's extraordinary in many situations in avoiding a full blown sinus infection.
Well, that's important information. And I think, you know, if we could be much more judicious in our use of antibiotics, number one, we wouldn't all have messed up intestinal flora. Fewer of us would be susceptible to candida, which you talked about in the first part. And also, we wouldn't be running out of antibiotics that are effective. Right now, we're losing the war to rapidly mutating bacteria that are becoming antibiotic resistant.
Right, absolutely. And there are just so many better ways to do it. And it isn't, there, so many people think that they're benign, and they're just not. I mean, it's just not it's not a benign therapy. And it's surprising how many people will get overtreated with antibiotics and end up with some severe complications from the antibiotic therapies. So Clostridia difficile infections and things like that. So I'm very judicious, and I try not to use antibiotics as best I can.
So the call to action here, you mentioned several products. These are worth utilizing if you're suffering from allergies. Where can people find out more? You've got a great website. Tell us about
that. Yeah, I don't have any supplements on my website. There are some pharmacies in the city that carry them. Almost all the products that I mentioned here are available either online or through a good, either so many integrative doctors carry the products or through integrative pharmacies.
And you've written many articles. So your articles are listed on the website. It's Benjamin Asher. That's A-S-H-E-R. MD, BenjaminAsherMD.com.
Right. The website is actually AsherENT.com.
Oh, okay.
My original URL was BenjaminAsherMD.com, but actually AsherENT.com is my shortened, easier to remember URL.
Okay, AsherENT.com. Right. And there they will find what?
They'll find lots of information. I don't have all the supplement lists out there. I have some information. If people want to email my office, I can have them. And that's info@asherent.com. I can have them mail out some supplement lists to people if they want particular information.
Good. And just before I let you go, you do something very interesting with your patients. You manipulate your patients.
Well, that's a
good... that sounds like a bad word, but that's actually...
Right.
You're manipulative.
The... The big thing that I see is the misdiagnosis of sinusitis. So sinus headaches are really not sinusitis. Almost nobody with sinus headaches actually has an infection. So I re-educate people and let them know that those sinus headaches are really coming from trigger points in the neck, which are areas of inflammation, which refer pain to a distant location. So I do a lot of hands-on therapy to relieve trigger points, which then relieve sinus headaches. And I do that. I probably about 80% of the patients that I see, for one reason or another, I do some hands-on therapy to reduce muscle inflammation and trigger points, because it really helps quite a bit.
So when your patients say my doctor has magic hands, literally you do, because you're able to relieve their headaches virtually instantaneously with the right trigger points.
Are you using far infrared sauna for anything?
No, but tell us about that.
Well, I'm finding in patients that are sort of in the, either in a sort of a detoxing state where they're on some therapy where they're detoxifying, where they just don't feel well, that using far infrared heat seems to really help a lot in terms of clearing things out and actually helping people feel better.
You direct it towards facial area, or?
No, you can get, there's something called a biomat, which you can buy. I have one in my office that people will lay on while I'm working on them.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels great. Or you can actually get, there are places in studios in town that actually have a far infrared sauna where you can actually go sit in.
It's like a little chamber.
Right. It's mm-hmm. like a regular sauna. But it seems very, very effective. And I think that for people that actually are very allergic, I think it might be something that would be helpful in terms of treating symptoms, in terms of just strengthening the body to get through it.
Great. All right. Well, certainly, you've illustrated in our discussion both a great Western scientific grounding, but also a great creativity and openness to alternative therapies, and covering all bases in your effort to help patients with ENT problems. For patients who are patients from all over the world, by the way, come to see you. And what's the information about the center?
If they want to call my office, my phone number is 212-223-4225, and they can just call and make an appointment. I do phone appointments, so if people are not in the area and can't come, I'll do something on the phone. Or actually, I just recently did a Skype consult with somebody in India.
Oh, great.
So I can do Skype consults as well.
Was that India's foremost Bollywood star who was having a crisis before one of the shoots, the film shoots?
No.
You can't divulge.
Can't divulge, but it was somebody who was a vocalist. So it was singing techniques in India are like nothing we have here. It's
right.
Very, very
you could
different.
So. Break shatter glass.
Right. So.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and imparting some of your wisdom to us, our listeners. Dr. Benjamin Asher of Asher Integrative Ear, Nose, and Throat, located here in New York City. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.